There are two readings this morning. The first can be found in the Old Testament in the book of Zechariah, chapter 9, verses 9 to 12. And this can be found on page 955 of the Pew Bibles. The second reading is in the New Testament in Luke chapter 19, and that can be found on page 1054. So Zechariah chapter 9, starting at verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit. Return to your fortress, O prisoners of hope. Even now, I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. And then in Luke chapter 19, starting at verse 28. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.' As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, 'If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you.'" Amen.
It's a pleasure to be with you this Palm Sunday morning, and in heart and mind to enter into that first Palm Sunday through, as we have done, through the reading from God's Word. The festivals of Christmas and Easter, as many will know, were originally pagan festivals to do with the worship of the sun. One at the darkest time of year, and Easter the time of the rising sun, the time of new growth in the ground. So far as Christmas is concerned, the world has been reluctant to give up its hold on that particular festival. Despite the outward trappings, it remains for many a pagan event. But Easter is of a very different description. Easter belongs to the church in a very special way, and that is both right and proper. And for this reason, that Easter deals with the things that are central to our Christian faith. Namely, the events on the cross of Calvary and the resurrection. Easter has to do with the very stuff of the Christian faith. So it is fitting then this Palm Sunday morning for each of us to make a special effort to enter in as fully as we can to that faith that we have received. And moreover, the times in which we live require us all to define more clearly the things for which we stand and to take up a more definite standpoint over the world if we are not to be submerged by or smothered by the world. So we stand at Palm Sunday at the beginning of one of the most dramatic and dynamic weeks the world has ever known. When Jesus entered into Jerusalem at that Passover time when the city was full of people. And we read from the Gospel of Luke, of course, the Palm Sunday narrative. But there is also recorded in each of the Gospels the Palm Sunday story. And it's for a little that I want to look with you at the question that are actually recorded in Matthew's version of the Palm Sunday events in Matthew chapter 1 at verse 10. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this? Who is this?" It's a question and one about which we need to reassure ourselves afresh if our commitment is to stand the test of our times. Who is this? And notice, first of all, that this is a question which many on that Palm Sunday didn't ask. Matthew, of course, says that all in the city were moved to say, "Who is this?" And perhaps we may allow Matthew a little of what we might call poetic license. At Passover time, Jerusalem, the population was swollen by tens of thousands of people. And while there was a sizable crowd that welcomed Jesus, the phrase, "all the city," is perhaps an overstatement. For there were many there who had no particular interest in Jesus. More than likely, had never even heard of him. There were in the temple, for example, people there selling birds for sacrifice. The money changers were there to accommodate the worshippers with Jewish money at a price. Later on in the week, they were to feel the impact of the presence of Jesus as he let loose upon them his wrath at such a flagrant misuse of property. But at this point, that was no concern of theirs. They were busy, they had money to make and a job to do. Likewise today, many never ask the question, "Who is Jesus?" Well, they may be busy about their own responsibilities. They may have many other matters to occupy their attention. And as often as not, these other interests are perfectly honorable and proper interests and have their proper place in our living. But you know, something can happen. These interests can crush and squeeze out the greater question, "Who is Jesus?" So that it becomes a question that is never really asked with any serious intention or careful thought. These are some things for which There are some things for which it is vitally important that we make and find time. And this is one of them. for it has implications here and hereafter. Who is Jesus? And what does he mean? Secondly, it's a question I think that many asked, but just as quickly forgot. That's the way it is with a crowd, isn't it? Something happens, a crowd gathers, interest feed, and many just move on to the next point of interest. And we can be sure that there were many like that on that first Palm Sunday. They heard the shouts of the friends of Jesus, "Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And what is all this about, they asked? A man and a donkey? Some hysterical, overreactive people throwing their cloaks on the road? Others waving palm branches in the air? And they concluded, maybe they had been at the wine. Disgusting, they said. Disgusting how some people seem to drink round the clock. Then quickly forgot about it all. And they forgot about the man at the center of it. Well, after all, they were on holiday. They were meeting old friends. Some of the tourists had come a long way and wanted value for their money and to make the most of the trip. And they asked the question, who is Jesus? And quickly forgot about it. And that's something that so happens today, isn't it? People who can show a passing interest in Jesus Christ. They may come to church, be intrigued, and come for a week or two. Or maybe to the length of joining a new communicants class. And somehow, a few weeks on, they're gone. Their interest in Jesus is of a transient, passing nature. And there's no lasting quality to it. They ask the question and then forget about it. Like Pontius Pilate, who asked the question, what is truth? And didn't wait long enough for an answer. Didn't do Pilate any good except to gain a place in history as the betrayer of Christ. Who is Jesus? Many asked, and they came up with a wrong answer. Many asked the question, who is Jesus? And they came up with a wrong answer. And here we come to the real tragedy that lies at the heart of Palm Sunday and Holy Week. It seems incredible, does it not, to our minds, that otherwise good people, likeable people, reasonable people, family-minded people could have reached the conclusion that they did reach. What kind of madness led them to hold that Jesus was inspired by the devil, the agent of the power of evil, a threat to the power of Caesar, a potential foe of all that was best in the Jewish tradition and way of life. And yet that is precisely what happened. They asked the question, who is Jesus? And came up with a wrong answer. Dostoevsky, the novelist, has a story about this theme. It was at the time of the Spanish Inquisition. Torture and terror were everywhere. And suddenly Christ was seen in the streets. He'd come back to comfort his suffering people. He was recognized, arrested, imprisoned, and brought before the Grand Inquisitor, an old man who rails at him and says, I too prize the freedom with which you have blessed people, but I weakened and would not serve madness. I join the ranks of those who have corrected your work, Jesus. Tomorrow the obedient flock, at a sign from me, will hasten to heap up the hot cinders on the pile which I should burn you for coming to hinder us. And when the Grand Inquisitor had finished speaking, he waited some time for his prisoner to answer him. The old man longed for him to say something bitter, something terrible. But Christ suddenly approached him in silence and softly kissed him on his thin, bloodless lips. That was all the answer. The old man shuddered. His lips moved. He went to the door and opened it and said to him, "Go and come no more. Come not at all, never." And he let Christ out into the dark alleys of the town. What was wrong? The Grand Inquisitor simply could not understand the riotous, unruly nature of the love of God as revealed in Christ. A love that was so disorderly that made nonsense of human rules and regulations. A love that embraced outcasts and lepers. A love that welcomed publicans and sinners and tax collectors. A love that found time for a rogue like Zacchaeus. A love that was prepared to stand still for a grubby old Bartimaeus and pour forth such lavish praise on a woman who put the equivalent of a penny into the church collection because it was all she had to her name. And sometimes we become like that Grand Inquisitor and are afraid of Christ, fearful of the effect he will have upon us and of the demands that he makes upon us, of how Jesus can upset our casual and easygoing ways, alter attitudes, enlarge our poor hearts, and expand the ever-restricting walls of our minds. For truly, Jesus can be an uncomfortable companion, challenging, rebuking, and inspiring us to live differently from what we are. We're afraid that if we go to him, that we want him to go and to leave us alone, as if he were our enemy and not our friend. Think of the old man Saul of Tarsus. He too asked the question, "Who is Jesus?" And he came up with all the wrong answers. At least until one day, something burst inside him. And he found himself babbling out on the Damascus road, "Lord, Lord, what will you have me to do? What have you to do with me?" For you see, to have Christ is to have everything. Not to have Christ is to have nothing of any worth, even though we possess the whole world. Question people asked, question that many never asked, of course, that some asked and quickly forgot about. Some come up with the wrong answer. But of course, some asked a question and found out the truth. Like the centurion who features in the Holy Week narrative. A man, a veteran of many wars, who had seen men die in all kinds of conditions. But standing at the cross and watching Jesus, the realization broke upon him that somehow this man was different. This was a good man. So this question comes to us from the scriptures to us as we are gathered here on this Palm Sunday in 2014. Who is this Jesus? As we ask the question today, to become aware of how good he is for us. You know, many people have found that to be true in their own experience. How he is able to stand by our side in times of sorrow or trouble, and to give us renewed hope and comfort. How he is able to heal wounds and hurts and encourage us afresh in the business of living day by day. How he is able to speak the word of forgiveness for those sins that would rise up and accuse us, and give us the promise of reconciliation with our Father in heaven, and grant us peace in our souls. Who is this Jesus? Horatius Bonner, in an inspired moment, once answered the question like this: I heard the voice of Jesus say, "Come unto me and rest. Lay down, thou weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast." I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. Who is Jesus? He is our Savior, our friend, here to meet with us, each one, and wherever our past has been, to meet with us and to assure us, each one, of his love for us, for you and for me, even today. Let us pray. Gracious Father God, as we think on these events of Palm Sunday, that city of Jerusalem packed with people, a population swollen by tens of thousands of visitors, the word that came out in the question, who is this? And Father God, prevent us, save us being from those, among those for whom the question was never asked, but that we may ask the question, but Lord, not be numbered among those who quickly forget about it, nor yet come up with a wrong answer. But Father God, as we gather together, we ask the question ourselves that comes ringing down the centuries to us. Who is Jesus? Help us, each one, to be numbered among those who have found out the truth, that he is indeed the blessed, holy, and unique Savior. So hear our prayer, Father God, that we might indeed echo the words of Horatius Bonner, and I heard the voice of Jesus say, "Come unto me." So, Lord, hear our prayer today. And grant that we may hear that word of Jesus, who says to us each one, come, come unto me, that we may know him, and as our Savior, as our Lord and our friend. And now, God, as we journey through this Holy Week, the Good Friday to remember his death upon the cross, his painful separation from the Father, bearing thus the sins of our race, and to rise victorious that Easter day. Hear our prayer, Lord God, and help us each one as we answer that question, who is Jesus? He is our Savior, our Lord, and we acknowledge him as our friend. These things we ask, Heavenly Father, for Jesus' sake. Amen.